for every amen and for every old man. Thank you, Lord God. I praise you, God. I worship you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you've given me clarity of thought, that you've given me precision of speech. You allow my tongue to be as the pen tonight of a ready writer. And Lord, let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which you shall write upon the word of faith. The word of God that bring healing, deliverance, power, peace, miracles, and whatever else that comes with the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you right now. And let everyone receive that tonight, Lord. Father, we thank you that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. You've kissed us on our lips in a moment of intimacy and love that we have one for another, and we have now been made whole in your presence. Father, we thank you now for your everlasting presence and your love for us. And Father, we would join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You are holy. You are holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you from the simple topic, and it's nothing flashy, but the power of praise and worship. Amen. Remember, I told you that the text will expose all five steps that we were supposed to take this week in order to be revived, and that is prayer, faith, the word, the power of the Holy Ghost. Each night I preached on one of them, prayer, faith, the word, the power of the Holy Ghost, and tonight we're talking about praise and worship. Amen. Now, don't you know that the devil scratched his head at that and say, after all the stuff, you know what he did to Job? He put Job through all of this stuff that he put Job through. He put Job through trials and tribulation. He made Job sick. He took his family. He took all he had. His wife talking crazy, saying, Job, curse God and die. But Job says, God give it, God take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job went to worshiping God, and the devil said, now look like this joker here must have lost his mind, because ain't no way he can lose everything. The only reason he was serving God is because of what God could give him. But now Job proved something to him. Job said, I'm not serving God for something. I'm serving God for nothing. I don't really want anything from God. Just because I serve God, he blessed me anyway. You know why the devil couldn't take Job out? You know why the devil couldn't get the best of Job? Because Job didn't want anything. He didn't want nothing from God. All he wanted was to have a relationship. That's why he worshiped like he did. That's why he waited on God like he did. Well, even when his friends came and they talked about him and said, Job, you must have had some iniquity in your heart. You must have did something wrong. Job said, I don't have to answer to you. I'm just waiting on God, because I did all I thought I'm supposed to do. And when God spoke, God told him, he said, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I created the Leviathan? When I flung the stars in heaven? Where were you, Job? And Job couldn't say a word. Job, all he could do is say, I'm getting back in my place, and my place is to worship you. And so what did God do? In about 9 months, God restored Job all and more that he had. He got double for his trouble. And all I'm trying to suggest tonight is, if you can hold on in the midst of your trial, if you can hold on in the midst of your pain, if you can hold on in the midst of your heartache, your heartbreak, and your bad breakup, your breakdown, you got to know, right before the breakdown, there is a breakthrough, and God will do it just for you. That's all I'm trying to tell you. We need to make sure that we praise him. You know why? Because praise is an agitator. Praise is an agitator. You know what praise does? Praise stirs up God. That's what an agitator do. You know, you got an agitator in your washing machine. And what does it do? It stirs up. It shakes the clothes. It spins them. It gets the water out of them. Amen. It makes sure the clothes is on top, gets the water in them. It does everything. All you got to do is shut the door. Trying to tell you something here. All you got to do is set the time that you're going to worship, that you're going to praise God, and shut the door. And then when you begin to agitate, God is going to do the rest. And so what happens is, when we start praising God, we start stirring God up. You make God want to move. You make God want to do something. You make God want to heal somebody. Oh, come on and say, man, if we can learn how to praise God in his house, it'll make him want to heal somebody. If we start praising God in his house, it'll make him want to save somebody. You start praising God in his house, it'll make him pick somebody up out of the miry clay and place their feet on a rock to stay. Do I have anybody in the Mount Pilgrim Church tonight that say, I'm here to shake it, I'm here to agitate, I'm here to make God move on some behalf? Oh, come on and say hallelujah. Oh yeah, hallelujah. Oh yeah, but when we look at the praise, we notice that there was a partnership in praise. There was a partnership in worship. The Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. See, what we have here sometimes at churches, we got some people that don't want to pray. Then all you got is some people, all they want to do is sing. Then you got some people, all they don't want to do is, I just want to come lift my hands. I don't want to do nothing else. I don't even want to hear the word. We don't get the full worship experience. I wish I had somebody. And so what we need to do, we need to start partnering up with folks. We need to look down your road and say, can you be my partner in worship? I need somebody to go along with me so that we can praise God. He said, well, two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be God in the midst. Do I have any partners out there that say, I'm ready to buddy up with you, Pastor. I'm ready to partner up with you because I want God to move in my life, but more importantly, move in my children's life. More importantly, move in my neighbor's life. More importantly, touch the person down the road for me. If I was you and I was sitting on a road where people don't want to partner up, I would move, because that might be the road. Oh, come on and say, man, that might be the road that miss all the blessings. I get over by somebody that I know gonna praise God, because you know how it is. When you start praising God, it seems like it moved from him to him, and then it moved from him to me, and when it moved from me to him, and we all praising God, all people can say is, it must be the Lord doing it. And they ain't putting on, because all of them can't praise God, and all of them can't feel the same thing. If you don't feel something by now, something might be wrong with you. You need to check. Oh, come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah. I need a partner in my praise. I need somebody who can lift his name. I need somebody who can shout hallelujah. I need somebody who ain't bashful. Don't be shamefaced now. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. We go to those ball games and we scream and holler to return blue in the face. We get excited. We jump up and down. But when it comes to the house of God, we are ashamed to open up our mouth. We can't even clap our hands. But you can't beat us clapping if our children walk across that stage. Oh, you ought to praise God then. I ain't clapping for you. I'm clapping for him that he calls you to be able to finish there. Oh, hallelujah. Do I have anybody that say, I want a partner? I want somebody to praise with me. I don't want you to put down my praise. I want you to help lift my praise up. I want to go higher in God. I can't go higher if you stay where you are, and I think I'm going to stay where you are too. If we yoked up together, let's go higher in the Lord. Let's lift our hands. Oh, come on, let's shout hallelujah. Let's jump up and down. Whatever it takes. I don't understand. I just don't understand when people say it don't take all that. It may not take all that for you, but for me to come out of the world, it took all that for me. It may not take all that for you, but for me to be able to lift my hands, it takes all of that. Oh, come on and say amen. Quit judging somebody. The Bible says, don't judge another man's servant. If I'm serving God, don't judge how I'm serving. You just serve the way you serve it, and see which one of us get God to answer by fire. Oh, come on and say amen. Or when you see the fire fall, don't get mad at me, Cain. When you see the fire fall, don't get jealous of me, Cain. Just know if you would have did it too, if you would have gave a good sacrifice, if you would have gave everything you were supposed to, then it would have happened for you too. Come on and shout hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. I got a little more to go. Say they sang praises and the prisoners heard them. Too many times we don't want nobody to hear us. I don't care if you hear me. If I'm struggling, you're going to see me struggle. So you ought to see me praise my way through my struggle. Because then that's a testimony that I praised my way through what I was going through. And you saw me go through it and praise my way out of it. Oh, hallelujah. The prisoners heard them. They didn't care that they were waking folks up. They didn't care if they disturbed the person down the road from them. You know, you got some people, I don't care what you say, they just ain't gonna move. They're gonna stare at you like a statue. But I want you to know, ain't no statues in heaven. Oh my God. Ain't no statues in heaven. God doesn't have to have that kind of art. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. Glory be to his name. So if you're a statue, you better start moving. You better try to come to life in here. Verse 26. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. They praised God. They praised God until they moved him. Is your praise moving God? Does your worship move God? Does your prayers even move God? See, prayer, praise, and worship should move God in one way or another. Prayer should move him to bless you. Amen. Praise should move him to stay with you. And worship should move him to take you with him. Into his presence, yes. He says that suddenly, without notice, there was a great earthquake. And so when we think about this earthquake, I want you to understand the book of Isaiah tells us that God says the heaven is his throne. And the earth is his footstool. And so when they begin to sing and praise God, and you know they weren't worried about the music. They weren't worried about who wasn't praising. And you know, they probably couldn't even clap their hands. But they had a melody in their heart that made God want to get close to them. I wish I had somebody. And so when the earth began to quake, this is what it tells me. That if the throne, the heaven is the throne of God and the earth is God's footstool. That means that at some point while they were praising God, God began to tap his foot. In the midst of them praising God through all of their trouble, God said, boy, that sure do sound good. And when God began to tap his foot, the earth began to shake and quake. The earth began to tremble. I wish I had some people in here that, can you make God, tax your neighbor, can you make God tap his foot? Or have you ever moved God? Oh, come on and say amen. Have you ever made God tap his foot to shake up some situations, shake up some things? You know what God did when he tapped his foot? You know, God said, look, you can't be bound. Why? If I like your praise, you can't stay bound. I got to loose you. Because when the Bible says that as they begin to praise him, the earthquake happened and the foundation of the prison was shaken and immediately the doors were open. What did God do? God shook the doors open because he began to pat his foot from a praise from two people who were in a pitiful predicament and they were in a painful situation, but they still praised God, and by doing that the doors begin to rock. Oh, I wish I had a few people. Oh, I don't know about you, but I know some folks relying on me that if I praise God and he shake up some things, that their doors of the prison that they're in might finally open up. I wish I had a few people here that understand that some people are bound up, but if you begin to praise God, then finally their bands will be loosed. Notice what God did. God didn't wait and say, I'm only going to loose Paul and Silas, but it was everybody in the prison. I got some folks in this mess with me. I don't know what you did, and some of them was guilty of what they did, but God said, if you want to join in, I'm about to let you free so you can join in worship, so you can join in praise. See, when we come into this house, we ought to have a praise in our heart. We ought to have a prayer on our lip and a worship in our mind. And when God sees a prayer and a praise, and when God sees a worship, I don't care how bound you are, I don't care what the devil has you into, but when you begin to worship and praise, you begin to shake some things loose. You may not move, but I'm going to praise God till God loose you. You may not say hallelujah, but I'm going to lift my voice and till God set you free. You may not say anything to God, but when I say thank you Jesus, you may realize after a while that I'm free, that no more chains hold to me. I'm no longer bound, but now I can lift my hands. Now I can clap my hands. Now I can jump and I can run. I used to wonder why people ran in church, and then I finally realized the reason why they run is because they realize ain't no shackles on my feet. I believe I run on. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going to be like them. I'm going to run and see what the end's going to be. I believe it'll be all right. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to worship the Lord, because when I worship him, there's power in praise and worship. There's power when I lift my hands. I lift them in power. When I shout for joy, I shout in power. When I say hallelujah, hallelujah brings power. Do I have anybody here that say, I'm with you, preacher. I want to praise him until my children get free. I'm going to praise him until my cousin feel it in the jailhouse. I'm going to praise him until the liar starts to tell the truth. I'm going to praise him until the homemonger starts doing the right thing. I'm going to praise him until the homosexual take off his dress and put on some pants, grow his facial hair, and say, I'm here to praise the Lord. Do I have anybody here that say, I'm here to praise? Praise the Lord. Yes. Yeah, yeah. We got to see what happened here. I don't know what Paul said in his prayer. I don't know what song they sang. But what I do know is that God answered by opening up the doors, dropping the shackles off their legs, dropping the handcuffs off their arms. And the Bible says everyone's bands was loose. Some of us are in a place. Do you know that sometimes you're in a place because God want to free somebody else that's in the same place? You've been wondering, why am I here? Well, you're here to praise God. You're here to worship God. In the midst of disappointment, I dare you to praise him. In the midst of pain, I dare you to praise him. In the midst of adversity, I dare you to praise him. Because when praises go up, the blessings come down. But let me tell you what really happens. When praises go up, the blesser himself, he comes down. We can't see him with our eye, but I feel him in my soul. It makes me want to run. It makes me want to shout. It makes me want to say hallelujah. Anybody here feel the Lord on the inside? Anybody here know that God is here with us? Say yeah. Yeah. Almost done. Everyone's bands was loose. Wasn't nobody bound. When they found the praise and worship. Mm-hmm. Nobody bound. In verse 27 said, and the keeper of the prison was awakened out of his sleep. He saw the prison doors open. And he would have killed himself. And he thought the prisoners had fled. But one thing about God. When God delivers you, he don't let you go anywhere till the unbelievers can see you. He wants them to see you free. He wants them to see you worshiping. He wants them to see you because the unbelievers can't be believers until they see the work of God into another believer. Oh, come on and say amen here. And so God ain't let you move yet because he wants them to see you free. He wants them to hear your prayers. He wants them to, come on and say amen. He wants them to know that God is real, because I can feel him in my soul. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. But then look at what happened here. It was nighttime. It was dark in the place. The man came to the door and he said, I'm going to kill myself because everybody's gone, because I don't want to be tortured by the magistrates. And he began to get ready to kill himself, but Paul by the Spirit. See, when you've been in the presence of God, God allows you to see stuff even when you ain't supposed to see it. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. Oh yeah, God allows you to see stuff even when it's dark right in front of you. Now, how did Paul know that he had drew his sword? Because if you read on the next verse, he said, then he called for a light. So it wasn't no light there, but Paul knew something was happening because God revealed it to him. God don't reveal that to anybody. He reveals that to the worshiper. God doesn't reveal stuff to anybody. He reveals things to the praisers. He reveals things to people who pray to him. And so if you want God to reveal something, some stuff, you need to say, God, I'm praying to you. I'm praising to you. And I'm worshiping you. Do I have anybody here tonight? If you want God to begin to speak to you, he don't just speak because you're a human being, but God speaks to those who speaks to him. If you pray to God, God will talk back to you. This prayer is not a monologue. It is a dialogue. I talk to God and God talks to me. I praise God. God moves on me. I wish I had somebody that understood what I'm saying. The man called for a light and then he realized the power of God. He came in trembling and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? If you don't understand what is happening here, we got to understand that God is doing something. The only reason why he let us go through this stuff is so that somebody might believe. The only reason we're still alive is that so we can tell somebody that there is a God who sent his only begotten son, who died for your sin, but on the third day God raised him from the dead, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And also we find out that he's coming back. He said when the dead in Christ gonna rise first, but we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him. If you're not caught up in prayer, if you're not caught up in praise, and you're not caught up in worship, you won't be caught up in the rapture. We need to realize that's the full gospel. We need to make sure people know that, that it's all about conversion. It's all about repentance. It's not about just coming to church. We got to have a change in us. We got, oh, come on and say amen here. Oh, the world is trying to tell us, oh, you just go to church. Oh, we can accept whatever. But God is saying, no, I'm telling everybody that you need a change in your life. You need to be able to say, I once was this, but now I'm saved. I used to be anything's in here, ex-drug addicts, ex-liars, ex-womanizers. If you are ex, you're in a good spot because now God can use you. I wish I had a few people in here tonight that said, I'm an ex and God is going to use me. Oh, come on and say amen. Paul tells the man, he said, believe on Jesus. He said, and you shall be saved. But not only you, but your entire house. Now, what kind of testimony is that? Your entire house. Some of us got a couple of kids, and they ain't saved. But this man's entire house, that means everybody that lived with him, even the servants that he had, all of them got saved. I wish I had somebody here. See, what you need to start doing is the same thing that I decided to do, that everybody with my last name that lives under my house, I declare they'll be a Christian all the days of their life. They're not going to be caught up with some deception. They're not going to be caught up with some other foolish religion. But I declare that every holding in my house will be a Christian. All of my nephews, all of my nieces, they're going to be Christian. You need to begin to declare that. The Bible says we can decree a thing and it will be done. I don't know about you, but I'm taking that serious. I believe if I call that thing that be not as though it were, that boy may be acting up but still call him a Christian. That girl may be doing the wrong thing but still call her a Christian. Do I have anybody? I wish I had a few praises now. He said, what shall I do to be saved? And they spake the word of the Lord to him and to all his house. And they took him that same hour of the night. They washed his stripes and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. I want you to see something here. There is a product of prayer. Whenever you begin to pray and praise God, God will always give you a product back. Because God can't allow you to give him something without him giving you something. God, you can't beat him giving. No matter how you try, if you give God a praise, he gives you a blessing. I wish I had somebody. If you give God money, then he gives you more money. Because he said, I give seed to the sower. Some of us been eating our seed. We haven't been sowing anything. You haven't sowed no praises. You haven't input into nobody's life. There's no importation. You just won't. And you never give. He says, more blessed to give than it is to receive. I don't even know how I got here, but somebody need to hear it tonight. He said, give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall other men give unto our bosom. If you start doing that, then your boss man begin to make some incentives for you. Put you on a plan that you'll be able to get some gain sharing or some profit sharing because you were a giver. I'm a witness of that. I wish I had some people here, but Paul gave God something, and God gave him something back. He gave him faith. He gave him freedom, and he gave the jailer his entire family to be saved. Oh, come on and say amen here. But when I look at this, and I'm going to close now, when I begin to look at the scripture, and I see what happened in verse 32, and then I look at what happened in verse 33, they say the same night, he took them and he began to wash their stripes. And I said, Lord, look at what happened. After all of that, I used to skip right on down where it says that he washed their stripes. But then God said, go back to 32. And I said, after they spake a word to him. Oh, come on and say amen here. Do you know when your enemy has come against you? You need to speak a word. Stop cussing and crying. Stop lying. Oh, come on and say amen. Stop talking back and being mean. You need to speak a word. He said, a soft answer turns away wrath. But what Paul and Silas did, he said in verse number 32, after they spake the word of the Lord, then the man decided, I know I put some stripes on you. I know I beat you down pretty bad, but I want to wash them. Ain't that something? How just a few hours ago, you wanted to kill me. You wanted to beat me down. You made me bleed. Yes, you hurt me. But now after I speak the word, you change your mind. See what the word will do. The word will make the enemy stop right in his tracks. The word will make the enemy do some good things towards you. He talked about you all week long. But when he see you on Saturday in Walmart, he said, you know what? Let me pay for your grocery. I wish I had somebody. Because he heard you speak the word. There's power in the word of God. There's power. I wish I had a few people tonight that say, I realize there's power. Because if it had not been for the word, I don't know where I'd be. If God hadn't spoken into my life, I know I would be nothing. But I thank God that he gave me his word. He said, ye abide in me, and my word abide in you. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. I don't know about you, but when I get full of the word, I want to tell God what his word said. When I get sick, I want to say, Lord, you said in your word that you have borne our sickness and our griefs. You said in your word that with the stripes of Jesus that we were healed. When I see things coming against me, I want to speak God's word. I say, no weapon that's formed against me shall be able to prosper. Do I have anybody here? Or when I speak God's word and I feel afflicted, I say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. Do I have anybody? When you speak the word, there's power in the word. When somebody do you wrong, when you speak the word, then your enemy will come back. And the Bible says that David told us in Psalm 23 that he prepares a table before us in the presence of my enemies. They got a.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.